If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 15. At this time that we read this verse, Absalom has just taken over the kingdom of Israel. And not wanting the city and the people to be destroyed, David is preparing to flee for the sake of the people. He could have stayed and fought. He had the resources and the power, but for the sake of the people, he had determined to flee. And he had a certain number of people with him that were loyal to him, and in verse 15, these people speak to him. And the king's servants said unto the king, "Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." I was studying something else when I came across that verse, and it just jumped off the page at me, as I've studied this passage numerous times and preached a number of messages on Ittai the Gittite in verse number 19, which we'll see in a moment. But this verse just seemed to jump off the page at me as I was reading, and the loyalty that the servants had and the attitude that they had. And they said, the king's servants said, "Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." David, whatever you decide to do, we're ready to do it. And as I thought about their loyalty as servants, and certainly you could see very easily an allegory concerning our own service to God. And I focused in on that word, whatsoever. Thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. Most of us, that would call ourselves Christians, there are certain things that we are ready to do. We're ready, for the most part, to attend 90-95% of the services. We're ready to try to indoctrinate our children and those around us. And we're ready to do, there's some things that we would tell the Lord, "I'm ready to do that, Lord. I will do that. I'm ready to give up lewd things. I'm ready to give up sensual things. I'm ready to do this or that." But the idea that these men were ready to do whatsoever came across the mind of David was amazing to me. Whatsoever. I struggle with that concept. I would say that I want to be in the will of God, but could you really honestly, on Monday morning when your alarm clock goes off, "Lord, whatever it is you want me to do today, I will do. Lord, if you want me to scrap everything else that I have been doing and working towards, I will do. I will do whatsoever you have thought of, whatsoever is in your mind, I am ready to do." Now, looking at that word "ready," it means that they had already put some thought into this. They had already determined what their course of action would be. That there would be no limit to the extent that they would go for David. They had already resolved a certain number of things. The fact that they were ready to do whatever David had decided in this situation meant, first of all, that they had already determined that their safety didn't matter at all. They had already just... they just decided that. That they had loved David so much, that they thought so much of David, and would rather have no other life than a life with David, that they determined that that was worth more than their safety. It was worth more than their carefully built homes and carefully planted gardens. Could you imagine? Most of them were farmers. The time that this took place was midsummer. Most of them had done the largest part of their labor had been done awaiting the payoff. They were willing to abandon their farms before the harvest. That's amazing. They were willing to throw that all aside. The way of life that they were used to, the place that they were used to living, even the place that they were used to worshiping. All of those things. It was worth it for them to be where David was. They were willing to put that all aside. We can read the account of the many that went with him. There's some that stand out. Ittai the Gittite stands out. If we read verse 16, starting there. And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and the Cherethites, and the Pelethites, and the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place, and abide with the king. For thou art a stranger, and also an exile, whereas thou camest but yesterday. Should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may? This was a very uncertain future that these people were assigning themselves to. David didn't say, well, we're going to go and live in that town. We're going to set up a new city. This is what we're going to do, and we're going to build a wall around it. He just said, I'm not sure where I'm going. We're gonna run around wherever we can. I don't really know. And this was the future that they were signing on to with their whole families. This was the future that they were signing on to. Notice Ittai's answer, verse 21. And Ittai answered the king and said, As the Lord liveth, as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in life, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. Ittai said, David, wherever you are, if it's death, that's where I'll be. Wherever you are, even in death, that is where I will be. And David said to Ittai, Go and pass over. Notice, and Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. You know, I have to, that part of the verse catches my attention because my family's rapidly growing, you know, and I think about it all the time. We travel a lot, and there's dangers to traveling. I'm concerned when I travel, and you can never predict when your children need to use the restroom, and you pull off somewhere, and I know Flint pretty well. I work down there 2 to 3 days a week, and there's places that and times of day that I don't go. I mean, you just don't go. There are certain roads you don't go down. There are some places that you will not stop at a stoplight at. It's just not a place to be. But when I'm traveling, I don't know where those places are. That's the danger of traveling. I don't know in Akron, Ohio, which parts are bad and which parts are good. I don't know if it's the north or the east or the south. I'm not sure which side of the tracks we should be on when we're in Akron, Ohio. I don't know those things. And so I prepare myself, and sometimes I arm myself, and I'm concerned with this. And I see Ittai here had rather hazard the lives of his little ones with David than to remain there in the city with Absalom. This loyalty, it stands out to me as I consider this. All that they were ready, they had already resolved in their minds that whatever David asked, whatsoever, was far more livable of a situation. Whatever they had to suffer with David was far more livable of a situation than to bear the thought of another king ruling and reigning in their lives. It's amazing to me, the submissive spirit that these ones had towards David. And it brings us to the next question, which is, why were they so ready? Why were these people so ready? And the simple answer is they had an awareness of the greatness of their king. Very simply, they had an awareness of the greatness of their king. They were very acutely aware of how great of a king David was. Is that so in our lives? How aware are we of how great God is on a daily basis? On a regular basis, it would change what we were willing and ready to do. Could we say that we were ready to do whatsoever? Whatsoever, Lord, crosses your mind. I tell you, just the thought of saying that will probably cause your heart to jump a couple of beats. Just the thought of putting yourself out there. What would you have me do? Most are not willing. It's a hard thing in our flesh. It's a scary thing in our flesh. But these had already made the determination. They had already resolved that it mattered not. Nothing that they had held any comparison to the life under the leadership and under the reign of David. Notice again Ittai. When we think of this awareness of the greatness of the king, this awareness, where does this come from? You know, we asked, where does the readiness come from? Where does the awareness come from? The awareness comes from knowing him. The awareness of how great David was came from being familiar with him, came from knowing him, came from time with him. But notice Ittai. Ittai was an exile. Ittai was not welcome in other parts of the country, in other parts of the world, and he had fled to Israel, and he had found a home in Israel only one day ago. He had only been there one day. As we saw, David said in verse 20, "Wherefore camest thou but yesterday?" Ittai, you just moved here yesterday. Should you be loyal to me? Should you follow me? Should you hazard your life for me? You're already in exile. You already have lost your own country and come to Israel. Now you're going to turn on Israel to follow me. For one day that you've known me, Ittai. For one day that you've lived here. And when I think about the familiarness that Ittai had with one day with David, and that speaks volumes to me of how familiar we really must be with God. How familiar we must really be with Him. If our service is what it is on a daily basis, if our willingness is what it is on a regular basis concerning Him, how much time have we really spent being familiar with Him? How familiar? How much time do we really spend meditating on the things of God, on His characteristics, on His redemption, on His grace? What is He to you and me? Is He such that we would say, "Whatsoever, whatsoever, my Lord the King"? You know, we live in a society where we have presidents and we have politicians, and the idea of a great monarchy that the people are in love with is so foreign to us. You know, the closest we can come to that is we look back in our political history and we look back to Abraham Lincoln and we look back to George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and some of the great things that they did and the way they stood and the powerful speeches that they gave. And, you know, I was listening to political radio and we haven't had a decent speech since the 80s at a convention. One that really stirred the people and unified them in a great way since the 80s. So it's hard for us to identify with the idea of living under a great king, and how that the people flew his banners from their houses, and how that they were just in love with their king, their leader, the one that stood for them, the one that symbolized everything that they loved and held in their lives. It's hard for us to identify with that, but certainly, in a spiritual way, it shouldn't be hard for us to identify with that. And how we ought to be filled with great loyalty as we consider the great promises of God. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 23. God instructing his people for when they were to come into the promised land in verse 24 of Exodus 23. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, your king, your magistrate. Now think about this life of service that's mentioned and outlined here. And he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take away sickness from away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast out their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, and thou shalt be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the sea of the Philistines, from the desert to the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. You know, as I was reading that passage, and I noticed in verse 25, as he begins to talk about the kind of life that they would have under this theocracy, as this theocracy was being laid out before them that would be in Canaan, which Canaan is a picture of the most perfect life the child of God can have, a perfect theocracy, where you have submitted to yourself to him, and you have said, whatsoever, Lord, you want me to do, I will do. That's the life of Canaan. And notice this life, as he said, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Oh, if we could really grasp how much control God has even over our food, as it enters into our body and it cycles through the system of our body. It's such that I believe the child of God could eat the same bread as somebody else and fare better. He said, I will bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Notice verse 26, and there shall nothing cast their young nor be barren. Not the animals, not the people. Under this theocracy, he would be everything to them. As they ate their food, they understood that it was him that was going to keep them whole. As they lived their lives, they understood that it was him that did all of those things. And we see this somewhat pictured in the life of David and in his servants. Under the leadership of David, the people were blessed, they were happy, they were victorious. Living under the merciful rule of David, they desired no other leadership. Psalms 91, and we could read hundreds of passages concerning life fully submitted to the Lord, and how that he is able to control and bless every avenue of our lives. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, and pastors preached many messages about what that place is. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust, my everything. If he's your everything, as we see in these passages here, you have no trouble saying, whatsoever. whatsoever my lord the king will do, I'll go. Verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy right, at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. In these verses, we find everything that the child of God could need. That he was David's everything. That he was his health. He really believed that his health on a daily basis came from God. That his security on a daily basis came from God. That his prosperity on a daily basis came from God. That his protection from every evil thing, from lions to poisonous snakes, that all of that came from God. He looked at life in that light. This is how he viewed his life. He didn't view his life that the fences he had put up had protected him from lions, that the particular spring waters that he found protected him from disease, that he looked to God for all of these things. God was his everything. And to these people in 2 Samuel, David was their everything. And they had no troubles looking at their lives and looking at their children and looking at their spouses and saying, it's David or nothing. And if we have to take nothing, we'll take nothing, but we're going after David. We're going where David goes. And I can imagine there were some difficult discussions in some houses in those days. As all of this was politically happening and falling apart, and husbands and wives were saying, what are we going to do? And I can imagine there were difficult circumstances and heated discussions. And I can imagine that sometimes it was the husband and sometimes it was the wife. But somebody would have said, I'm not living under another king. I'm not living in another way. I'm going with David. David has been good for us. David has been good to us. And it's David or nothing. And if I have to die in the wilderness chasing David, I will die in the wilderness chasing David. And that's where Ittai was. Ittai was in that place after one day spent with David. That's amazing to me. Oh, how infrequent, and if not infrequent, how pathetic our time spent with the Lord must be. How minuscule and how distracted and how shallow it must be. Because the dedication of God's people in the day and age which we live in is very thin. It's very poor in the day and age which we live in. People will give up for any reason at all. They'll turn around for the smallest of things. They'll give up convictions. They'll throw their lives away for the smallest of things. And I'm encouraged and I'm challenged whenever I read this story and I read of the dedication that these men had that followed David. They hazarded, they risked their entire lives. They risked their little ones, their small ones, their homes. They left their farms. They left everything. For what? There was no promise of that they would have some place in the kingdom. There was none of that. It was just pure loyalty to David. And in the day and age which we live in, it seems that loyalty is a rare thing. In fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy that in the day and age that we live in, we'll be characterized by a lack of loyalty. That many will turn aside. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, says this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Down in verse number 8, he mentions some examples, Jannes and Jambres, which withstood Moses in his day. And there have been those throughout time. It's a sad story when you read the story of David that all the elders of Israel, the ones that should know the most, and even one of the priests, stayed with Absalom. Ahithophel stayed with Absalom, and all the elders of Israel turned their back on David as Absalom had stole their simple hearts away. And how many things in this world steal our simple hearts away very simply, very easily, take our hearts away, take our loyalty away. For whatever reason it may be, there were ones that stayed behind. There were ones that were loyal to Absalom. There were ones that fell to the powers of this world and made obeisance and bowed down to what they thought would be the new king, to who they thought might bring them the pleasure and the life that they were hoping for. And what a sad thing. Again, our text of this evening was, thy servants are willing to do whatsoever my Lord the King would have them to do. Can you say that tonight? Can you say whatsoever? You know, we sing that song sometimes, I surrender all. Can you say, Lord, whatsoever you want me to do? That's a hard thing. You can feel a sinking feeling down in your chest as you try to say those words. Whatever you want. Because there's things that we've put a lot of effort into. There's things that we've put a lot of time into that it'd be very hard to just walk away from. Recently, our pastor preached from the book of Matthew, and he read, there's several accounts, but he read the accounts of three men that were given the opportunity to follow Christ. And they all, none of them were ready. There were three there that they were not ready. One of them had to bury his father, and one had to tell his family goodbye, and they weren't ready. And we read of these men in David's life that said, thy servants are ready. We're ready to do whatsoever. Are you ready? Can you really say that you're ready? We can talk about it. We can say big things. Remember Peter? Peter thought he was ready. He said, Lord, I'll follow you to death. And it wasn't but 24 hours, and he's running the other direction, hiding, lying, covering up who he is, cursing, swearing, telling people he's not a disciple. It's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to really say, Lord, whatsoever, whatever you will have me to do, I will do it. That's a hard, hard thing. Sometimes we're overinvested in other areas. We're so invested that it'd be very hard to leave. I'm sure that there were a number of them that maybe they loved David very sincerely. Maybe there was a lot of love in their heart for David, but they looked out over their field that they had planted and they just said, just a few more months. You know, it's August. It's so close. You know, just October. And then we'll catch up. You know, Pastor talked about that in his story of the three there that the Lord told to follow him. We'll catch up. Let me do this and I'll catch up. And that's the fallacy that gets in our minds. I know myself that I've just plain got to put it in my scheduler and do it. There are things that I will never, ever do. It'll always be a good intention until I put it in my scheduler And I start telling people, no, on this day, I'm going to do this. I've got to do it. Otherwise, it'll never happen. It'll never come to pass, and I'll keep kicking that can further down the road, further down the road. And that's what Satan does with us. And then before long, we turn around and we've missed it. We've missed the prime of our life. We've missed the time in which we should be doing things. And that's what Satan wants to happen. If he can just keep us putting it off, that's all that it takes. But are you ready? It's one thing to say, whatsoever the Lord wants, I will do at some point. But are you ready? Are you ready in this hour, Lord, whatsoever you would have me to do, I would do it. Can you say that? Can you wake up tomorrow after your alarm clock goes off and talk to the Lord and have a conversation with Him and really honestly try to find out what the Lord wants? You know, when I was getting ready to be married, of course I prayed about it because that's what we do as Christians, but all in all, I had made up my mind. I was going to get married. I had made up my mind I was going to do what I wanted to do. Pastor said, did you pray about it? I said, oh yeah, I prayed about it. I didn't listen for an answer or anything. And the Lord watched over me despite my ignorance and my stubbornness and my desire to do what I wanted to do. But that's how we pray oftentimes. We pray about it, sure. Lord, what do you want me to do? Okay, well, I'm going to go off to work anyway. And willing to really say, Lord, I'm ready. To examine everything, to hold it in a scale. And you look at it, and you put it in a scale next to all that God provides you, your health, your whole life. The only one that can actually bless your food to your body. You think about that. We ask for a blessing on the food. The only one that can bless your food to your body. Campbell's can't do it. Nobody else can do it. The only one that can bless your home, can bless your womb. The only one that can do any of those things. When you hold that next to everything else, how does it compare? Are you willing to do whatsoever He would ask? Certainly nothing is too much if we were to really weigh it out, but it's a hard thing to do. We'll stop there and turn the services over to Brother Larry.